Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, by now you've heard me talk about Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. They've already sold over a million of these amazing shirts. Well, Collars & Co. just came out with the new Maverick Performance Blazer. This blazer is sharp and wrinkle-resistant, so you can travel anywhere with it. Just throw it in your bag, and it will remain wrinkle-free. It even comes with security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So visit collarsandco.com and use code TIKI for 20% off at collarsandco.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 212. The Nationals continue their winning ways as they take a series from the Pittsburgh Pirates at home to kick off the second-to-last homestand of the season. We'll break down how the Nationals won this series, as well as the continued hot stretch of Dalen Lyle. All that and more here on Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 212, coming up right now.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 212. I'm producer Darius Cameron, filling in for Grant Paulson, alongside here with Toby Altizer. Toby, what's up, man? How are you?
It's funny that the season has turned to football season for a lot of fans, and suddenly the Nationals decided to start playing winning baseball. It's unfortunate that the Nationals weren't able to get this sort of play in, say, June, July, August, May, but unfortunately it didn't happen. But in September, they're playing good baseball, and they won a series against the Pirates, a team that is generally considered, I guess, to be in the same tier as the Nationals at this point, but they did a good job in this series, and really with the hiccup in the middle game from the bullpen's still been good, and it's just been funny to see how this team has kind of turned around and kind of turned on its head, where the beginning of the season, it was a disaster anytime the bullpen door swung open, and now you almost feel confident with guys that who thought that they'd be depending on Clayton Beter and Jose A. Ferrer would be the closer, and Cole Henry would be as good as he. Like, you just go through the list, and it's kind of funny to see where the pen has gotten to, but good to see the Nationals playing some winning baseball. Hopefully they can finish these final couple of weeks strong and at least feel good about themselves going into the offseason.
Well, if you asked Grant Paulson back in March, he would have told you that Jose Ferrer was going to be the closer. He was the leader of the train for Jose Ferrer, and it didn't look good at first, but, I mean, man, ever since he's been put into the closer's role, thanks to Miguel Cairo, I mean, he's definitely taken that role and completely run with it. But I think it also goes along with a lot of the other bullpen changes that have worked out for the Nationals so far, and credit to Miguel Cairo and Mike DiBartolo for putting together a bullpen that's been able to get this team through the rest of the season. But as you said, it's quite unbelievable that what should be the most important month in baseball in September, where you're playing down the stretch for in playoff races and positioning. Unfortunately, the Nationals aren't in those playoff races and working in position, working for playoff positioning, as of course they were officially eliminated over the weekend. But they take a series at home versus the Pittsburgh Pirates. They win the first game of the series 6-5. They win the third game of the series 4-3. They did, as you said, drop the middle game of the series 5-1. Let's start with that first game of the series. You actually were there. You were in the ballpark in the first game of the series, a game that was started on the mound by Brad Lord. Brad Lord did go six innings, but he gave up seven hits, gave up three earned runs, four strikeouts, one home run given up. But the bullpen came in and kept things close while Jose Ferrer was able to lock down the save. Talk about that game, game one that you were at.
Yeah, so it was a fun one to watch, to see some of the big-time plays. Brad Lord turned in another quality start, and not like he was dominant, but for what was expected of Brad Lord, what he's been able to do this year, you know, I think Mackenzie Gore obviously is going to be the pitcher of the year for this team, just for the step that he's taken and being the best guy and has the highest WAR of all the pitchers. But I think the guy second in consideration would be Brad Lord. So to see him continue to just go out there and be solid kind of solidifies himself as a part of this team next year, whether it's out of the pen again, or I think he'll at least get a chance to be a starter once again. It's good to see him continue going, but to see the big-time plays that came through in this game. You know, Jose A. Ferrer had been really nails in that closer role, but struggled to get through this one to get all three outs. But to see, as the tying run is rounding third and James Woods charging a ball and throws the tying run out at the plate, and then Ferrer is able to finish it off even though he gives up the couple of runs, that was impressive. To see Brady House go deep the other way was great. And to see Dylan Cruz step up in a big spot against one of their big-time leverage arms, Kyle Nicholas, who has a big-time fastball, he's able to get on one, send it the other way over the wall to give them the lead. That was impressive to see, just the guys coming through in big-time spots and answering the bell. And this isn't meaningful baseball anymore, but seeing guys come through in moments like that, especially the young guys, is huge, because, you know, even though this isn't necessarily playoff baseball or have playoff implications or anything of that nature, it's still good to see these guys come through in big league situations, and it's still good experience for the young guys. So to see them come through in those sorts of spots, and really the two that were spotlighted were Dylan Cruz making the great catch out in right field and then hitting the homer, and then to see James Wood, who's had an up and down year defensively, but for him to come through, he's made a couple of nice catches, but this is probably the biggest play that he's been able to make with his arm, where he's able to throw out the tying run at the plate in the ninth inning, was really, really impressive. So that's a good win for the Nationals. And, you know, if you haven't had a chance to be at the ballpark to see Clayton Beter pitch, this guy's got nasty stuff, and had the opportunity to watch him from down close and to see his kind of funky delivery, it kind of jumps on you. If he can throw strikes, I think he can be someone that can help you out of the pen for a long time. And Poulin is still someone that's interesting, because it's not like any of his stuff is overpowering, but I think they've done a good job of kind of mixing and matching with this bullpen to get through, where some of these guys that we didn't necessarily expect to be guys that you'd be talking about for next year's roster, I think Poulin's in the conversation. I think Beter, obviously, some of the guys that they were able to acquire and sign after the deadline, I think it's been impressive to see what they've been able to do. So, yeah, the game one of this series, I think, was the standout one, just to see the big-time plays made in big-time moments by some of the young guys.
Yeah, that throw by James Wood was absolutely spectacular. You did mention Jose Ferrer. He had a wild pitch in that inning that contributed to giving up a couple of the runs in that inning. And then one of the things I know, Dylan Cruz, you mentioned he had the big home run in that game one. But game two, I remember listening on the radio on the way home that second game. That was actually Dylan Cruz's bobblehead day. And even though the Nats ended up eventually losing that game 5-1, he basically the only run that they had, he put that run on the board by himself. He made a big hustle play to get on. He got a hit to get on base. He made a hustle play to get to second base, and then basically manufactured the run himself. And I remember Dave and Charlie were just giving him a lot of praise, saying, like, if the Nats going to win this game, it's because Dylan Cruz made a winning play. That's winning baseball, the way that he was able to manufacture that run like that. And that's, I think that's kind of one of the themes of the season, is that when Dylan Cruz is in the lineup, despite whether or not, you know, he's performing with the bat, he finds ways to make winning plays, and he's clearly a big, important piece to the future of this franchise. Just getting that bat going is going to be a big part of that, but regardless, the defense, the base running, the energy that he brings, Dylan Cruz is a winning baseball player and very important to this franchise.
Yeah, I mean, you said it right there. If there were a way that I could just make a T-shirt, it would just say Dylan Cruz, winning ball player, because that's what he is. And even though the numbers aren't sexy, I mean, he's going to finish the year hitting right around 200, either just above it or slightly below it. Nothing about the numbers are going to jump off the page to you, but if you watch him night in, night out, you can see how he impacts the game. Now, that being said, you can't be a 200 hitter and then that be your career and be considered a winning ball player, but you can see the way that he impacts the game. And if he can build off of that and find a way that he can get to a serviceable average and be a serviceable hitter, even if he is below average and maybe doesn't ever...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live up to the true number two overall hype or whatever it may be, you can see how he impacts the game. He plays with his hair on fire, plays great defense, runs the bases well. He really does everything well outside of just finding a way to put bat to ball at this point. And so if he can find a way, get the ball in the air a little bit more, puts the ball on the ground a little bit too much. But I have faith that they're going to be able to find something there to fix it. And even if he doesn't live up to be the guy that a lot of Nationals fans talked him up to be when they drafted him, you know, and frankly, too, it's not even just Nationals fans that talked him up to it. It's like everyone kind of thought a dude that was on base every single game of his final year at LSU, a guy that just was hitting around 500, it felt like, every year at LSU. Like, I don't think anyone thought that this guy wasn't going to be able to hit at least 250, 260 in the bigs, and hopefully he can get there soon. But yeah, you're right. He's such an impactful ball player, plays the game the right way, and frankly, the Nationals need more out of his mold versus some of the lazier types on this team at times.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was actually Cruz that broke up a no-hitter from Bubba Chandler. Bubba Chandler was one of their Pittsburgh's top prospects, and he was throwing absolute gas throughout the first five innings of that game. And then the bottom of the sixth, it was actually first pitch 99-mile-an-hour fastball that Cruz took and singled into left field, and then he was able to advance on a flyout from House. He's able to advance from first to second, and that was that winning play that Dave and Charlie were complimenting on the broadcast. Hassel would go on to single him in, where Cruz would then score the only run of the game for the Nationals. The other story of game two would be Andrew Alvarez. Andrew Alvarez pitched very impressively. He pitched six innings, three hits, five strikeouts, only one walk, 85 pitches. He's got a 1.15 ERA so far through three starts for the Nationals. Andrew Alvarez is putting himself in a conversation that I don't think we thought that he'd be in terms of possibly being a part of next year's rotational plans.
Yeah, I think it's been, we talked about him when he got called up, and it's funny because he's always had relatively good minor league numbers, but you know, anybody you talk to just didn't really view him as a big time major league prospect. And we'll see. I mean, you look at the stuff and it's not overwhelming, but he's one of those guys that just knows how to pitch. And I can respect those kinds of guys. And it seems like he's kind of maxed out his ability and it seems like a great kid, someone who's just grateful to have this opportunity and taking advantage of it, where, you know, he's able to change speeds. He's able to locate. He's got a couple of good enough pitches that he can get by, and he's done a great job of it. And we'll see as time goes on, as he gets a couple more starts this year, and he'll have an opportunity presumably going into spring training next year to prove himself and maybe earn a spot once again. But yeah, it's been impressive to see him have the results after, you know, you saw him in his major league debut and you're like, oh, okay, this probably won't go on much longer, and it's carried on. And so final couple starts of the year, he'll have more of an opportunity to prove that, you know, this isn't a fluke and this is something that maybe can carry on. But as teams understand him a little bit more, get more of a scouting report, I'm still curious to see what he'll look like. But early results have been really, really impressive.
Game three of the series, the Nationals actually played an 11:35 game, which is always odd. But they came back. The Pittsburgh Pirates were up 3-0 after the first inning, and the Nats would claw back in the second inning to tie the game up at 3. And in the eighth inning, no one else but Daylen Lyle would be the one that would break the tie, as he would double to center and get Wood to score and make the game 4-3. They would go on to win the game 4-3, a big win to secure the series here in the finale.
Yeah, honestly, if you want something that's a positive that you can take out of this season when there's not a whole lot of them, it's a fact that you look through this lineup and the guys that we've all highlighted have been young guys that maybe weren't expected to play major roles this year, with the exception of obviously like a James Wood or a Dylan Cruz, but an Andrew Alvarez, a Daylen Lyle, even Brady House to an extent. Like, some of these guys weren't really fully expected to be up at the big league level making major impacts playing every day, but look at where we're at. And you know, some of them have struggled. There's no question about it. Not to say that all these guys have been great. Daylen Lyle, kind of the exception there. He's been really, really good. But having these guys have this kind of full-time experience at the big league level, if they have to step into a role next season, they're not going to be shell-shocked. Maybe they're not able to produce. Maybe they're not the big league players. Maybe they're not ultimately going to be impact guys. But it's because they just simply can't play at the big league level. It's not because they're getting their first taste of the big leagues and, you know, they're not used to it. I think that might be something that you can take out of the season. But Daylen Lyle specifically has been so, so impressive. You know, to see him start the way that he did, struggle a little bit, go back down, and then come back up, and he's been probably right there with James Wood. James Wood's been struggling, so maybe you want to look at it and say that Daylen Lyle's been their best hitter since he's come back up, and his ability to just put bat to ball and be impactful. The speed has been obvious. You know, we talked about this coming out of spring training, how he might be the fastest guy in the entire system, might be the fastest guy in the entire organization, up there with guys like Andrew Pinckney and other top speed guys, Jacob Young, whatnot. You didn't see that fully play out early on, and now you're seeing it play out a little bit more. He's been great at the plate. He's got to work on his defensive skills big time in order to kind of stick and be that everyday kind of guy that maybe works himself into being a big-time part of the future. But at the plate, he's been so impressive. No moment's too big for him. He comes up with a great approach, understands what he's trying to do, and you're kind of seeing every part of his game aside from the defense kind of start to flourish. And so it's been really impressive to see. And look, I mean, Grant and I were having this discussion about, are you a part of the Hassel Hive or the Lyle Pile, whatever you want to call it, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And look, I think anybody that even is a Hassel fan has to look at it and say Lyle's been more impressive. And the only thing that Hassel maybe has over him is the defense. But right now, the way that Lyle's playing, I don't see how he doesn't get a real look-see for next year to be a part of the team and maybe a starting outfielder for this organization if they don't go out and spend big time in free agency this offseason, which I wouldn't hold my breath for.
He wasn't awarded a triple on today in the eighth inning. It was a double, and then there was a fielding error that allowed him to get to third. But I always laugh when Daylen Lyle slides into third base and then pops up and sticks his tongue out and shakes his head. He just goes crazy. It's such an energizer to see somebody play with his hair on fire the way that he does. So it's been an awesome season and an awesome experience watching Daylen Lyle develop, and hopefully he's a big part of the future for the Nationals.
Yeah, I mean, I just love the energy from the young guys. I think at times that was something that was missing this year in the middle of the season, where there was kind of that downspell, that lull, was some of the energy. And look, I know fans don't necessarily always love to hear that, oh, you just got to go out there and have fun. But in the grind of 162, if you lose that aspect, sometimes you can lose that focus and the necessary attention to detail and the hustle and all that stuff that goes into winning. And I think they did lose a little bit of that in the middle of the year when the losing started to kind of pile up. And I think having some of that energy back with Cruz and with Lyle and these young guys all playing big-time roles, I think you see some of that youth at times. And you'll see it sometimes with immature baseball plays. You'll also see it pop up sometimes with stealing an extra bag, doing different things, and going the extra mile, just providing that energy. And Lyle's one of those main guys that's been able to do that. So I really like watching him play.
The homestand continues on Monday as the Nationals begin a series against the Atlanta Braves. They will host the Braves for four games. They'll be making up a game from back in May that was postponed. So there will be a doubleheader on Tuesday and then a 4-5 game on Wednesday with, of course, a 6:45 start on Monday. Talk about the series coming up with Spencer Strider set to take on Mitchell Parker on the mound on game one.
Yeah, I mean, depending upon what some people are doing, this might be your final chance to see the Nationals this season. The final home series is going to be the 26th, 27th, 28th against the White Sox. I know, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sometimes football takes up the Saturday and Sunday, or maybe even Friday night lights. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, four games against the Braves. I think there's some intriguing matchups to watch. You mentioned Parker against Strider. It's always cool to see Spencer Strider on the hill. Game two of the doubleheader on Tuesday, assuming nothing changes, at least according to ESPN right now, looks like it's slated to be Chris Sale against Mackenzie Gore. That's about as good a pitching matchup as you can get, and a nice 6:45 Tuesday night. Maybe that's your final time to get out to the yard to watch the Nationals this year. I think that's a worthy cause. And then a couple of right-handed young guys, Hurston Waldrop and Brad Lord, on the hill for game four on Wednesday. The first starter of Tuesday's game for the Nationals is going to be Jake Irvin against the TBA. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a good opportunity to get out to watch the guys. And it's funny to see how the seasons have gone for these two teams, where the Nationals have been a major disappointment, and yet they're only four games behind the Braves, and that kind of shows you how bad of a season it's been for Atlanta, where there were high expectations for them, and yet the Nationals are just a couple of games behind them. The Nationals just need to win one more game this season to guarantee that they're not going to be a 100-loss team, so whenever that finally comes, that'll be nice to check that off. But been a disappointing year for both of these teams, and I think it'll just be fun to see. I remember the old days when the Nationals and the Braves matchups meant something. This four-game set not going to necessarily mean a whole lot, but I think there's going to be some intriguing things to watch in this series.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that the Nationals actually currently have six starters, but it works out with the doubleheader on Tuesday that they'll be able to roll out six starters over the next week or so here. And then I also didn't realize they only have one more series left after this. I thought they had a full week in the final week of the season at home, but yeah, it's just that final series against the White Sox Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So this is your final chance. Your final chance is to get to see the team before they head off for the winter break.
Yeah, and I had to remind myself, I was over there, I can't remember what series it was. It was just a couple of weeks ago. I was over there watching the guys just take some infield drills, doing a little infield, outfield, and whatnot. And the grind of the season and the disappointment, you're frustrated. And I had to remind myself, I was like, you know what? In a couple of months, I'm going to miss this. On a random Tuesday, Wednesday, nothing's going on, I'm going to miss this. So enjoy the last couple of weeks of baseball, even though it's been a tough stretch. Enjoy it, because in a couple of months, you're going to be looking forward to the spring and looking forward to spring training and looking forward to all those things. So just remember that you always cherish these times, even though it's a little bit of a tough watch right now.
Especially as we deal with the cold winter months that are in the DMV, we'll definitely be quickly looking towards the spring.
I've already been thinking about West Palm, so I don't want the football season to end that quickly, but everything else can go on by, and I would love to be down in make it to March and down in West Palm already.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Toby, it's been fun sitting in for Grant Paulson. Grant will be back next episode. As always, you can subscribe and leave us a comment on our our Apple Podcast page to let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you think of the podcast. Let us know if there's anything that you want us to talk about in particular. If you got any requests, let us know. So thanks for listening to Bustin' Loose Baseball. I'm producer Darius Dameron, sitting here with Toby Altizer. Grant Pauls will be back next episode, and we'll be back after the Atlanta series with Bustin' Loose Baseball.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.